Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's hear the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42 from today's New International Version. At the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Wow, before I preach sermon, what a beautiful anthem that was. The band and the vocalists, what a beautiful image. Did you catch that in the lyrics? The beautiful image, the thought of God enfolding all the hurts of this world. And thank you. I'm sort of still stuck there. Even though the scripture's been read, I hope that song is in my head today. Would you bow your heads and pray for me and with me? Lord, bless the words of my mouth. Without your blessing, they are nothing. Bless the meditation of our hearts, that our mind and our hearts might be focused upon you and only you for this short time. And bless us together in such a way that when we leave this place, we know that we will have communed with you in all ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, today I want to talk about time. We're going to start a new sermon series called Simple, and the first segment of that is to think about time a little bit. I'll tell you why in a second. I think people have a pretty complicated relationship with time. I say that because I was with a parent over the last couple weeks, and it was on a day when it was raining. I thought the great flood had started a second time. It was coming down, and the more it rained, the happier she was. In fact, I got to tell you, by the time we were 30 minutes that storm, she was downright excited. She was just, I'm thinking, this is like a huge, we're going to have flash flooding. The roof in here started to leak at one point. I was not happy about that. But this person was exhilarated by the rain. Do you know why? Practice was canceled. That's exactly right. Fascinating. You all know that, right? You all like, oh yeah, yeah. You know, men and women are high-fiving across Fairfax County on the days that it rains that hard, right? If only there could be lightning, right? Because the outdoor swim practice only gets canceled if there's lightning. So, you know, you're at a certain place in life and you have that. But then I called my parents a while back. I'm talking to my mom and dad. My mom and dad are well into their retirement. And frankly, they live a pretty good life, I just want to say. And I call them and say, "How you doing?" "Just exhausted." "You're exhausted?" "Like, you're retired, you know?" "Yeah, oh, we're just, everything is so hectic right now. We just over-scheduled and just it was a sense of being overwhelmed. And I hung up the phone. Frankly, I was depressed. Because I'm thinking, I thought when you got in your 70s, this would go away. You know, you could just do what you want. You're not working. I don't know about you, but I blame it on work and kids and other things. But to realize that this relationship with time, if you're not careful, will be just as complicated at retirement as it is right now, wherever you are, whatever season of life you're in. So I want to talk about time today. And I want to talk about time because time is connected to three things we're going to be talking about this month, and it's this intersection between time, possessions, and money. Three things that actually the Bible talks a lot about. The Bible talks a lot about the use of your time, about possessions, and about money in general. Jesus talked more about money than any other topic. But when you get the intersection of these three things, what I want to suggest today is, what if there was a governing principle that was at the center of those three things in your life? These are not the only three things in your life. But imagine if there was one word at the center of all that, and the word was simple. What if I thought about my time in ways that took me towards simplicity? What if I held possessions in such a way that my life was oriented towards simplicity? What if I dealt with money in such a way that I made my life not complicated, but what's the word?
Simple.
I bet if you had to describe your life right now, simple is not the word you'd use. I bet every individual and every couple and every family in this church right now, if I said, tell me about these three things, you'd say, Tom, it's complicated. So imagine if we switched the frame, if we switched the way that we looked at these things and said, I'm going to err towards simplicity. Now, use time as an example. You don't have to have the wisdom of the Bible. There's lots said about time in the Bible to realize our complex relationship with time. You just listen to song lyrics of any generation. Song lyrics, no matter how old you are, every generation talks about time. Some declaring that we have too much time on our hands, while Mick Jagger tells us that time is on our side. And we would all agree that we want this to be the time of our life, but doesn't it seem that time just keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future? Sure. It would be awesome. It would be great if we could save some time in a bottle. But you can't. And if you know those lyrics, you're old. A lot of time has already gone past. And the good people of the musical Rent tell us that you can measure a year, but the way you measure it is 526,600 minutes that are so dear. So dear. I like that. Just two little words, so dear. There is this thing about time, but I'll tell you who the poets are that really capture the way most people talk about time in Northern Virginia, though not all, but most people in Northern Virginia, the people that really captured it in a song are those people at VeggieTales, who gave us this.
We're busy, busy, dreadfully busy, you no idea what we have to do. Busy, busy, shockingly busy, much, much too busy for you.
Okay, stop right there.
Because we're busy.
Because I just can't bear it anymore. I can't bear it because, frankly, my anxiety is rising as I hear those two, what's that, asparagus? You know, as I see the asparagus singing, my own anxiety is rising. Now, let me be very clear. Not everyone feels this way. Not everyone's at that season of life. And I think that's really important to acknowledge because if you've been chasing preschoolers around your home for the last 4 years and then just a month ago you put the last preschooler on the bus, your feeling of time is fundamentally different. In fact, you may be feeling empty in some ways because of that shift. And so what happens is our relationship with time has to do with where we are on the spectrum, the season of our life. The people that have three teenagers in their homes and they're running in three different directions or how many of our kids you may have are fundamentally different than the season of life of the empty nesters who live next door whose kids have all gone off now. I'm watching my neighbors whose kids have gone off and come back and gone off and come back. And I think they're off again. And one time they came back, they brought brides with them, you know, for a short period of time while they were in the mix of something. And it's just interesting to watch my neighbors who are these empty nesters and their sense of time, how it is. But no matter what season, no matter what season you're in, what I want to encourage us to think about is what's the organizing principle around which we organize time, possessions, and money. Go to that next slide and notice the word at the center. I think the word that we put at the center of that is complex. I think we feel like our lives are complex in different ways. Our calendars, unless we're careful, will become either cluttered and full, leaving no room for time spent in purposeful service, deep rest and Sabbath, focused attention on our work, or leisure time. And by leisure time, I mean undefined, honey, what do you want to do today time of joy and love. The opposite is sometimes we can have calendars arranged in such a way that we're moving towards emptiness, a sense of time vacuum that make our emotions, our relationships feel less significant, and complicate our life in a different way, because we wake up in the morning and we feel a certain sense of emptiness. And somebody says, but why would your life feel empty? You don't have all these responsibilities. And we say, you know, it's kind of complicated. I think it doesn't have to. I think Christ is fundamentally leading us to a life that's simple. And I don't mean simple like simple-minded. I mean simple in terms of lack of complexity. A life that's just, in some ways, more fulfilling. Well, it's that sense of more being less. Jesus tells us in John 15:11, he says, I've come, I'll tell you why I came, I've told you these things, so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be what?
Complete.
See, joy is the word that Jesus uses so much. In John 10:10, he says, the thief comes only to kill and destroy, steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have what?
Life,
and have it to the full. So Jesus says, I want you to have a full life, and I want you to have a joyful life. So I want you to think about three other things. This may feel connected to you, may not. I'm okay with that, either way. Think about your emotions and your relationships. See, your emotions impact your relationships. Is that true? The way we display our emotions, the way we manage our emotions, the way we control ourselves and don't control ourselves, that affects relationships. Amen? And then relationships over time, how well that's going, that begins to affect our character. So these three things are not interlocked sequentially, but they're interlocked in that they all impact one on the other. And over time, what Jesus is interested in is dealing with our character in such a way that we have great relationships and we have great, our emotions are aligned in a way that leads to joy and happiness. And imagine if joy was at the center, if that was the organizing principle. And let me ask you something about your life right now. Is joy the word that you would use to describe your life? Joy. I really, you know, I get up in the morning. Do you think this way? Do you think, I get up in the morning and I have a sense that God has given me this life, that I'm blessed to have it, that I am a steward of the time that God's given me, and I have certain relationships and they bring me joy, and I have work that I do, and I find significance in this work, and that work may be paid or unpaid. It may be the work in my home or the work that you go somewhere to do it. But when I go down the street, I have a sense of joy, and that over time my character is growing in Christ in such a way that I'm becoming a more loving and generous person. I had this weird out-of-body experience this week. I was in Washington, D.C. I'd taken the metro down into D.C. for a meeting that I had to attend. And it was really early, because my theory on D.C. is early is better. And so I was down there. It was about 7:30 in the morning, and I was walking down the street. It was on 11th Street. And I felt so joyful. There were people walking towards me. And I was in this zone. I don't know if it was the coffee or what it was, but I just felt, I began to pray for people that walked past me and say, God, bless that woman. God, that man's limping. I don't know why he's limping, but bless that man who's limping. God, I just had such a sense of the precious nature of time and people. Does that make sense? I would like to tell you that's how I spend every day. That's how I feel every moment. But it's not that simple. It just seems like it should be. It seems like it should be. If joy was my organizing principle, I think it would be. I think that is true. And I think the Christian life is trying to figure out, how do we align ourselves? So let me ask you something. When your life is crazy and your schedule's out of control, how are you emotionally? When you feel like your life is empty, maybe there's nothing on that calendar, how are you emotionally? And then how do those emotions affect your relationships? Do people go, oh, she's here? When you walk in the room, they go, look, he's arrived. And now there will be this sense that we are blessed and loved. How does your time affect your emotions? And then how does your emotion, how they affect your relationships? And then how, over time, what's the character that's being cultivated in you and in me? So I think there is some connection between simple and joyful. And I'm kind of working that out as we go through the series. I'd like to tell you that I had all that figured out, but I'm working on it. That's what we'll be talking about. Simple calls us to joyful. And I'll tell you what it looks like to me when I think about time in this regard. Do you remember, some of us who grew up in a generation that they had these merry-go-rounds on public playgrounds. These were not like the kind with the horses and you go up and down and they play music. These are the kinds that were big metal discs. This is before the term liability became big in our society. This is before people began going to college for risk management. This was back when men were men and women were women, okay? And they had these big round things, and they had metal bars coming off of them. No padding, no padding. And you got on this thing, and your friends, you'd hold onto the bar, or I had one in my neighborhood that was just a disc. There was nothing to hold on to. Wimps had bars. What are you kidding me? And you got on this thing, and your friends would run around the outside of it and hold on to it and make you just spin like crazy. Just raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Good. Okay. So you remember, right? And the most fun thing to do, and we used to have contests. A bunch of guys, we'd all get together, like, I can stay on it longer than any of you, you know. And you would just stay on until, you know. And do you remember what was really fun to do? Is the ones with the bars. If you would grab the bars and then lean backwards like a golden retriever with its head out the window going out the interstate, right? And you lean back, and if you lean way back, you got the full G. You know, you're just going round and round and round. But then after a while, how did you feel? Yes, some of you said dizzy, but after dizzy, how did you feel? Ill. That's exactly right. And when you began to feel ill because this thing, because you're just going so, you know, eventually what you know, and this is what I figured out, because what they said is who can stay on the longest. And so when it got crazy on the outside, I always would do the same thing. I'd just grab it, reach up and hold to the center. Now, if you had the kind with no bars, it meant that you just went to the very center of the disc. And you know, at the center of the disc, it wasn't so bad in there. Because life at the center, even though things are still going round and round, when you were at the center, you didn't feel so crazy. And so what I want to suggest to us is that this issue of time, there's an issue of moving to the center and clinging to it. There's a practice we have to cultivate in life. Whether you're crazy on the outside, or quite frankly, if you feel like the merry-go-round is not spinning hardly at all, and you miss it, because you used to be an adrenaline junkie and a busy junkie, you know, but now all of a sudden things aren't spinning like that, and you feel sad. I want to suggest that the key in both aspects is to get to the center. And what's at the center is God. And what's at the center is the whisper of God in our ears saying, here's what I'd like you to think about with your time at this time of your life. Because I don't want to go through my life thinking that once my kids move out, it's over. Because that would mean that the only thing meaningful in my life were my children. My children are very meaningful. Karen and I love our kids. But we existed before our kids, and we will exist after our kids do what we have trained them to do. We have trained them. We have prayed for them. We've hoped that they would grow up. And so the question becomes, what will be the fresh calling, and do we cling to the center enough? And so what I want you to think about is because most people have a fairly complex relationship with time, what that does is it produces, and I hate to use this word because I don't want to make it sound like we can't be honest with each other or everything's negative. It's not. But at the center of our time conversations is usually a complaint. And I know complaint sounds like a harsh word, but most people, when you say to them, hey, how are you doing? How are things going? Well, you know, life's so busy, busy, dreadfully busy. That's not like a harsh complaint, it's just sort of a, or sometimes what people say, hey, how's life going? And there's a lack of identification of what that sigh is about. which is its own form of complaint. And so the first thing I want to suggest is, dealing with time, is there's a slide, it's coming. Examine your complaint. Examine your complaint. We've all got a unique one. I was griping to myself in a car by myself yesterday. You all, I'm going to subject you to it now because you weren't there. And I was going through my schedule and I was like, it was just so busy. And as I was complaining to myself, I remembered this sermon. I thought, you're going to have to talk about this tomorrow, hypocrite. And so what I did as I was driving, I thought, what's behind that? All those yeses that led to this experience you're having right now. What's your complaint? Mary and Martha had a complaint. Jesus was coming to their town. And so in Luke 10, 41, something like that, Jesus is coming, and Mary and Martha opened their home to Jesus, which would be a pretty big deal. Wouldn't you agree? Jesus coming for dinner, that'd be very cool, right? You probably run a vacuum, you know? Not, you know, linen napkins. Yeah. And so Martha, she had a sister named Mary. And when Jesus comes in and sits down, Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. You all know this story so well. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Because, I mean, listen, if you've ever been in the Middle East, high hospitality value. So she would have wanted to make, and look, Jesus, how often is Jesus going to come to your table, right? So you'd want it to be, what? Nice. Want it to be, as Katie says, nice. You just want to be nice. So she came to Martha. Martha is like running around, scurrying back and forth. And there's Mary sitting the whole time. And she's going room to room. And Martha's just hoping to hear Jesus a little bit as she moves from room to room. But then finally she gets sick of it. And she comes to Jesus and she says, Lord, don't you care that isn't this wrong? She's a woman. She's sitting at your feet. Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Friends, what is that question? It's a complaint. See, so here's the great thing that Martha did. She took her complaint to Jesus. And this is a form, I don't think she realizes she's doing it, but this is a form of hugging the center. And the great thing about your life is you can take anything to God. You can take your anger, you can take your complaints, you can take your disappointments, you can take your joy, you can take your happiness. Anything you've got, you can just take it there and lay it before the Lord and say, hey, Jesus, look at this. And then she says, tell my sister to help me. Tell Mary to help me. And the beauty of taking our complaints to God is that begins the process of having what theologians call the examined life. And so what's your complaint? Is it that you have not adjusted to the stage of life you're in and asked God for a fresh calling now that your kids are in a new phase? Or maybe, let me tell you, and I want to be very clear, some of the reasons that your life suddenly shifts time-wise, some of them are really tragic, right? Somebody dies. Maybe a parent that you've been caring for years dies. And you knew that was going to happen, right? That's why you were caring for them, because their health wasn't good. But now you've got all this time. Maybe it's a divorce. And suddenly you've been working so hard to try to keep the marriage together, but suddenly you went through a divorce, and now what? Now you're in an apartment or a home by yourself. So part of what drives this time issue are things that are beyond our control. And so part of what we have to do is say, God, are you still here with me now? What's the nature of the concern or the complaint? But some of these things we absolutely control. Some of these things we do to ourselves. Like maybe you've got a kid in high school and you don't even see them anymore because earlier you said to them, hey, unless you take those 4 AP classes this semester and get your freshman year of college accomplished by the time you're a junior in high school. And listen, I use that example because we've had 3 kids go out of high school into college. And can I just tell you something? Sometimes we push them and we don't have to. Because we've convinced ourselves, unless they do it all perfect, unless they nail everything, they won't get to whatever it is we envision. And sometimes that's not true. So we have to examine the complaint. Maybe you're crazy busy because this is a season of life in which you've got this kid And you know what? They do have all this crazy sports and stuff, but what you did is you counted the months and not the years, and you said, I've got 32 more months with this kid. And see, suddenly, you can embrace joy in the intense amount of time you're spending because there's a window and it's closing. Examine the complaint, friends. Examine the complaint. The impact of the unexamined life, though, is it's really harsh. It makes life really difficult because you've got a lot of stuff coming at you, and the effect of all that stuff coming at you at once is this. I don't know if you know lion tamers. Think about a lion tamer. They always have the whip, and they always have the stool. And do you know why they hold a stool? Here's what they say. And we looked this up a couple different ways just to see if this was true. The stool has four different points. And the people that work with large animals say that their theory is when the animal looks at this stool, they see four separate things coming at them at once. And it has the effect of sort of stupefying them. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever felt with your schedule, have you ever looked at your schedule and it's like, and all this stuff's coming at you and you just feel like you're paralyzed? That's what this is. So a big piece of life is to have an examined life, a life where we say, what if I thought about how to make my life simple? And simple does not mean jettisoning everything from your life. It doesn't mean inactivity. Simple just means alignment and knowing why I do what I do. And that way we don't feel emptiness on the one hand or overwhelmed on the other. Second thing, examine your complaint in this season of life. Consider the season of life you're in. Mary and Martha had a season. And I'm using the term in a very brief way in this. How often is Jesus going to come to their home and sit at their table and spend? I mean, how many hours did they have with him? Probably five, maybe six. It doesn't say that he spent the night, I don't think. So we don't, you know, it doesn't sound like he was there for a weekend. But he was there for a certain amount of time. And during that period of time, what was the sensible thing to do at that period of time? Because you're in a certain season, and different seasons have different demands, and they have different opportunities. And so Mary, it said, sat at the Lord's feet. This is what Mary did. She sat at the Lord's feet listening to what she said, because what Mary said is, wow, how many times am I going to get this opportunity? I don't care if the table looks perfect. I don't care if the house is just the way we want it. I want to sit at the Lord's feet. Martha did the opposite. Martha was logical. Martha was logical. She said, he's important. He's a friend. I'm going to give him my best. I'm going to work, 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 work. Mary was not logical. She was insightful. She said, you know what? I'm only going to get this one shot. So sometimes you're going to do things different from your peer group because they're working on logic, but you're working on insight. And if you want insight, I want to encourage you, there is no better place to go than to hold the center, to hold God, to fervently pray, and to say, God, what is it that I should be doing at this season? Because I think when you do that, the Holy Spirit will begin to send you the messages that you need. Martha is distracted by the preparations, and she complains. She says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work? Don't you care, Lord, that I'm overwhelmed? And Jesus says essentially, no. And that's because Jesus worked on insight. And so, you know what? You may have preschoolers in your home. And this may be the season of your life when you say, I'm going to take a laptop home with me, and I'm going to work from 8 to whatever it takes in the evening, as long as I can be home at 5, because my preschooler goes to bed between 7 and 8. Because can I tell you something about the years of your life when you have a preschooler? They're this big. And there are people nodding their heads right now, and all of them are people that no longer have preschoolers. And I miss some of that. Let me just confess the unexamined nature of my life. I miss some of that. Not all of it. but I certainly miss some of it. Any of you miss some of that? Let me suggest that what may be happening when you think about the complaint you have and you pray about it is that sometimes what God will do is God will whisper to you and say, hey, if you're feeling a little empty right now, I want you to bless others. Because I can't take you back to the last season. That's not possible. Because change is a part of life and you can't stop change. It's just coming. And so what God has this beautiful way of doing is saying, but there is new beauty in the season that wasn't available in that season. And maybe there's a neighbor next door that God is going to say, I want you to start reaching out to that neighbor because you've got time. We're not there yet. I'm almost there. Hold tight. We'll get there. And maybe the issue is that you've got a parent and you're going to make a decision to call them on the phone every single day. Every day you're going to call your parent, or you're going to go see them once a month, or. Time. But see, some of these things, once you pray about them, you'll start going, God, that was simple. That wasn't that hard after all. It was simple. Sometimes you're going to do exactly what you're doing it, but you're going to embrace it with greater joy. And sometimes you're going to do something brand new that you've never done before. What is the better portion that God is calling you to consider this day? That's what Jesus said. So then this is his last point. Make some choices. You must make choices. And so the spiritual discipline I want to suggest to you today is, before we take communion, is this. Would you consider this week pulling out your calendar and looking at last month, look at September, and look at October? And just ask yourself, how do I feel about these 2 months? And pray over your calendar. God, are there things you want me to change for November and December? God help us, December is coming. Right? And again, it doesn't mean you're going to throw out all the activity, but make some choices, because Martha is complaining, and this text says, Martha, Martha, Lord answers, you're worried and upset about what? Many things, but read it with me. Few things are needed. That is about simplicity. Or indeed, today, what he's saying is, hey, or indeed, what? Only one. And Mary has chosen what's better. You did what was logical. Mary did what was insightful. She chose the better portion. And guess what, Martha? I don't care about the dinner. I honor you for doing that. But the dinner's not that important. I am not going to take this moment away from Mary, because she, in insight, has said, I'm going to sit at the Lord's feet. How is God calling? And the word calling is really important. How is God calling to you for your time? And by the way, this time issue, you've got to look at the whole thing, including how much time our noses are sitting in a screen. How often we're looking at a screen, as Karen's got a phrase in our home, screen time. You know, a screen can be a TV, an iPad, a computer. And some of that's efficiency and good stuff, and some of it is a total waste of time. We become addicted to the screen. So I share that one with you, because quite often when I preach a sermon like this, at the door, people walk up to me and go, hey, Tom, you know the stuff I was volunteering to do here at Flores? I'm not going to do that anymore because I've been really convicted by your sermon. And I'm silently thinking, that's not what I had in mind. Thank you. So before you do anything, can I just invite you to look at the totality of time? And how's your time being used? Because I've been talking to some people recently that have been dealing with illness. And they've realized something about time. You don't know how much you've got. You don't know. And I'll tell you something about major illness. Things become very simple. Very simple. You and I are finite beings placed on this earth for a short time. We have the opportunity to be a blessing to our families and to our friends and to our community and to our church and to the kingdom of God. That's really the time of your life. So I just invite you, what would it be like if your life was arranged around that thought? Let's keep it simple. And now, Barbara, would you come and lead us in Holy Communion? You know what I love about Holy Communion? There's no time more for me that feels like I'm just holding the center. Everything's still spinning, but I'm holding the center. I'm saying, God, I'm with you here in your grace and your love and your joy. I invite you to be a part of that today.